Had the conversation about safeties earlier this morning. I want to get to these linebackers. How important is the linebacker position to the Green Bay Packers? Historically, not all that important. They haven't really devoted a lot of high capital to the linebacker position. It's almost like they go, there's a guy. He could play linebacker. Let's make it happen.
Uh-huh. Basically,
right? It doesn't feel like there's a lot of thought given to the position. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of capital given to the position. It doesn't feel like they think that it is a game changer for the Green Bay Packers defense. But you got a new scheme coming in. And as we have talked about with Jeff Hafley, obviously we know that he's going to prioritize the safety position, but it feels like, and I keep going back to this, guys, watching that Niners team and that defense do as well as it did this past season, a big reason why was what Fred Warner were able to do and what Dre Greenlaw were able to do. Those guys were game changers. They were game wreckers. And it feels like it would be a luxury to have somebody like that. What are you...
You can't have every position on defense be the most important position.
Well, that's what I'm going to ask you, Chu.
Yeah.
How important is linebacker?
Not. It's nice for San Francisco because did they draft those two players? And they turned out to be really good players?
Yeah.
But I'll revert to Ron Wolf. We were a top five defense for I don't know how many years. And Ron said D-line, corners, safety, linebacker. That's how he would rank them. Free safety probably being the least important star on the field.
I don't care who the defensive coordinator is. They've had how many defensive coordinators? They've had how many general managers over the last decade? Well, it's two general managers, but they've had how many defensive coordinators? And, I mean, the Niners defense wasn't standalone. I mean, I would say the inside linebackers for the Baltimore Ravens defense was really good this year. Fantastic. Two inside linebackers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers that beat the Packers in the 2020 NFC Championship game. Great inside linebackers. Baltimore Ravens where they had Ray Lewis. Like, having good inside linebackers being a key to the defense has been around for a long time. And for just as long, the Packers haven't given a rip about inside linebacker.
But you know what makes them great linebackers, Gabe?
The D-line in front of them?
A really good D-line in front of them. And you look at those teams, and what do they have? Very good D-lines. That's when they shine.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm just saying, yeah, I agree. It'd be nice to upgrade the linebacker position, but you can't have a safety and go out and get linebackers then, and we need corners, you know? That's why the draft in Goody's system is so important, because you got to nail them. I mean, just look at the offensive side of the ball, right? If he had half the draft he had offensively last year, they probably would have been, what, 7 and how many games are there? 17?
Mm-hmm.
7 and
this
10.
Is an easy one for you, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Shefty threw me off with the 11 and the 24 or whatever. But they would have been – they wouldn't have won as many games as they have. I mean, when you think about it, he really nailed a lot of holes last year. A lot. A lot.
I don't think you should go out in free agency and get a linebacker. I'm just not that impressed with the field right now, the candidates that you have out there in free agency. I do think you address it in the draft. I do think you get somebody in the draft who can support some of those guys you have there. I like Quay Walker. I think they like Quay Walker. I think his athleticism, I know you've said that he didn't have the best season, but I think his athleticism is something that you can't just go out and pick up at the store. So I think they like having him in there. I think they know they need somebody else to be able to support him on the field. And I mentioned Jeremiah Trotter before from Clemson. Mm-hmm. Joshua, you said he did not test well at the combine. Is that correct?
He came in smaller than he was in college, and then he didn't do any of the explosion testing, running, or the jumps, and then had poor agility testing.
Do you hold that against him?
Yes.
Oh,
you
yeah.
do.
No. I wasn't talking about the poor agility. I meant that he was choosing not to. We just talked to Adam Schefter. If you missed any of that conversation, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcast. But we just talked to Adam Schefter how every year there are guys who don't test at the combine. You know, hell, coaches aren't even going to the combine anymore.
Well,
I don't know if you hold against a guy not testing. But if you do choose to test and test poorly, I suppose it's another data point that front offices and scouting teams are going to use against you.
Well, the strange thing is, Jen, he probably got smaller to run better, and then he didn't run better.
And then he elected not to run.
Yeah.
And then he elected not, which is stupid.
Well, so that's the thing for me, Chu. Like, why are you doing some tests and not the others? Like, I'm not going to hold it against you if you're skipping all testing. Then I'm just more curious. Okay, let's see what you do at your pro day. But if you're doing some and you're not doing all, that's telling me something as well.
I mean, it's the same thing Braylon Allen did, where they pick and choose, and the things they pick and choose weren't even that good. So I don't know what they're getting out of skipping that, because even a favorable 40 time, people are still going to look at your agility testing and be like, well, why is this all off? What's
did
going on here?
Did he run a 40, Joshy?
Did Braylon?
Yeah.
No, he did not.
Yeah, see, that I don't get.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's not necessarily a deep inside linebacker draft anyway. Do I expect them to draft an inside linebacker? Yes, because it's another spot where they need bodies. But the more and more we talk about this position, are we sure Campbell's going to be? I mean, I know they had the issues and the things that he tweeted and his wife tweeted and everybody was tweeting last year. Are we sure Campbell's gone? I mean, it's not a huge cap savings. We're talking $2-3 million on the cap savings. Are we sure Campbell's going to be gone?
He's not. Is he? Well, where are they playing Quay Walker? Are they playing him a buck, which is your strong side, to the tight end? Or are they playing him at will, which is your weak side linebacker, your runner, and your cleanup guy? I think once we determine that, because they do need another linebacker. I don't know who that is, because if they do get rid of Campbell, then McDuffie is your Mike, right? Your middle, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's a guy.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just a guy. So until we know where they're going to play Quay Walker, and that's going to determine whether you get a smaller linebacker that can run, or you're going to get a bigger one that can take on the tight end.
My guess is Will, Chu. My guess is, because he's got, Jen mentioned the speed and the athleticism. Yeah, so my guess is Quay is going to be playing that weak side.
When do you think we'll get a decision on Campbell? When do you think we'll know whether or not he's sticking around or not?
I mean, within the week, I would assume, because you want to hit... And that's where I think we're going to get the decision on David Bakhtiari, because you want to have the money that you're operating with ready to go when that legal tampering window opens. Well, I mean, you don't have to do it then, but by the time you have to then sign a free agent, put pen to paper, and put that money on your salary cap. So within the next week, because free agency officially opens next Wednesday.
Yeah, you know when we'll know how serious they are about McKinney? Because they're probably going to have to create cap space to sign him, if they're serious about signing him.
Yeah.
So that may go hand in hand.
So right now, Chu, just so everybody's on the same page of what the Packers are operating with, they've got about $13 million in cap space right now. That's 13 and change. That will sign your draft class. So if they want to do anything, to your point, if they want to do anything in free agency, basically, to me, the money that they have to spend is David Bakhtiari, releasing him, opening up the $20 million there, and then whatever money you get in an Aaron Jones restructure.
Yeah, but let's not forget they got to sign Jordan Love, and I know it'll be cap-friendly this year, but you have to project for the future how it's going to affect down the line. Because like I said, I mean, you're not all in this year, but 2 or 3 years from now, you want to be all in, because then the window starts to close.
Right. I would imagine this year after this season, the books end up pretty much clean. You're pretty much at a no dead cap. You're not really pushing stuff in the future. And that's when you start adding to those positions and start putting money and signing guys to extensions and kind of moving money around to then fully go for the all-in.
Yeah, because, I mean, this next year, I mean, Jordan Love, even after he signs the extension, Chu, his cap hit's going to be like $13, $14 million, and then it jumps up to whatever it ends up being.
If you had to guess right now, Gabe, do you think that Campbell is back? Brian Gutekunst went on the record saying that they'd like to have him back if they can work the money out, if they can figure out the number.
It kind of seems like he's going to be back. Just because, again, you start looking at, okay, you have 11 draft picks. Well, you want to use some of these draft picks on running back. You want to use some of these offensive line depth, defensive line, another inside linebacker, cornerback. You start adding up all these things, and then you go, okay, well, what about free agency? Well, if you want that big free agent, you're only going to have money really for one big free agent. You start looking around, and you're going, well, they still need bodies there. I think it's more likely, it seems like to me, that Campbell's going to be back, because I'm also not seeing any of these beat writers write anything about that. Right, when they're talking about Packers opening up salary cap space, it's Bakhtiari, it's restructure with Aaron Jones, it's things like that. I can't tell you the last time I saw Devondre Campbell's name.
Yeah, you know the reason he'd be back, though?
Why?
because no one else wants him.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, these agents are still, even though he's under contract, Jen, even though he's under contract, I guarantee his agent's going to the combine and meeting with all the teams and saying, hey, if they release Campbell, you got interest? Yeah, we got interest, or no.
I think he just wore out his welcome. I find it hard. I think the Packers are going into 2024 with Quay Walker, who they view as their stud, their guy who they want to be their Fred Warner. They're going to draft a guy who hopefully is better than McDuffie, and then it's just veterans and, you know, journeymen. That's what makes sense to me, because I think they're still extremely high on Quay Walker.
Oh, no, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So you think McDuffie is back then?
Yeah. I mean, I think they really like McDuffie. I think they were quite surprised with what he did last season when he had to fill in for Devondre Campbell. Like, I mean, they gave Devondre Campbell what amounted to, like, mental health days. Like, he just wasn't doing anything for no reason, which to me doesn't bode well for his future.
Yeah, and then what did he say? I ain't playing unless I'm 100%.
Yeah.
I mean,
which seemed to be directed at fans, but it just, the whole thing was weird.
I mean, but if it was that toxic, wouldn't they have released him already?
You know
what I'm saying? Like, but if it was actually that bad, to me, he'd already be gone.
Yeah, but what did Goody say about Bakhtiari? I don't have to worry about it because I don't have to make a decision right now. And they don't have to make a decision right now.
Yeah, it seems like everyone's making the decisions and the Packers just aren't. And I don't know if that's just they don't have to, so they haven't, or what's going on there.
Keep an eye on Peyton Wilson. I think that he's a Packers guy. Doesn't he have an athletic score of like 10, like 9.9, 9.8, something just off the charts like that? The issue with him is, and I think I told Gabe, I remember covering him obviously during the college football season, but with the college football awards, I think he won the butt kiss and the Bednarik. I think he won both this past year,
yeah,
which obviously, good football player, but the issue is the injuries. I think he had two shoulder injuries, and that gives you a little bit of pause there. But from an athletic standpoint, he checks all the boxes that Packers, scouts, and front office love.
Is Devondre's birthday coming up anytime soon? Because they could go, happy birthday, and you're fired.
I believe
you see that in Jacksonville?
Jacksonville.
Who did that?
They wish the guy happy birthday, and then they cut him like 2 hours later.
I thought I saw that Fuller was also, his birthday was in the last couple of days, and didn't he become a free agent?
Yep. We've seen teams do that plenty of times. The date, by the way, to look out for Campbell, next Friday, he is due a $2.9 million roster bonus.
Oh, okay. So we think, well, that's good to know. Maybe a little deadline on his situation. But either way, he has a huge salary cap hit, doesn't he? Isn't that the whole point, that they would have to restructure it in order to bring him back?
Yeah, 14.2 is his cap hit by releasing him. Just straight up releasing him, it's 11.6 you'd be eating against the cap. So again, that's what I'm saying. It's $2.5 million that you're saving there. It's not a great salary cap saving just by releasing him, even though there is some.
Gabe, you got McDuffie right there or no?
Not, I mean, McDuffie's just not a rookie deal.
Yeah, he's rookie still.
Oh, then,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Is there really a difference between the two of them?
No, but you need bodies there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Manchu, you're messing me up today. I always think you're going to say something, so I pause and lay out, and then you don't say anything. You're a man of mystery this morning. If you're looking for a night out, or you are visiting Milwaukee and you're looking for a great place to spend the time, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. The hotel is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee, with deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. You'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate, and can I tell you guys, when I have friends coming in from out of town, whether that's Boston or Bristol or New York, guess where they stay? St. Kate the Arts Hotel. You can book a special hotel package with room rates starting as low as $129 a night. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The source.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what
good
I was getting.
Good pop. Good pop.
That, whoa. I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of reaction rolling into our linebackers conversation. Brett in the 715 saying, Edgerrin Cooper is the linebacker I hear Green Bay likes. He's from Texas A&M. Yes, his name is obviously on the list of the top linebackers that you could draft this year. Craig weighing in, though, saying, I'd rather sign Chris Orr than Campbell. He's wore out his welcome in Green Bay. Is that a local thing?
He's a teammate of ours.
Local guy. But again, we always talk about how there's always an affinity for, or often an affinity for, guys who played at Wisconsin or guys who grew up in the area. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. Generally speaking, Gabe, do you like the idea of bringing somebody to the next level that was here in Wisconsin? Or is that too often just a crapshoot?
I mean, if it's a crapshoot, just like any other player. You know, and everybody always wants to point to the ones that, you know, didn't work out. The TJ Watts, the Troy Vincents, Chris Chambers, who didn't end up here and said they drafted Robert Ferguson. But, you know, there are always plenty that you want to point to that I'm sure there are plenty that you really wanted him here and it wouldn't have worked out and his career didn't work out. It's just always, I mean, I think that's probably any local fan. If you are a fan of a college team and also a fan of a pro team, you probably want that guy because you've grown to like him, and this is the guy I really like watching in college. It'd be great if he was on my pro team. It's, you know, that's, but it doesn't necessarily always mean that there's a fit. Just like the Packers looking for a running back, again, I'd be weary of Braden Allen just deciding not to do some things and then testing poorly on the ones that he did. If we're using this year as an example,
do they forget about it though?
What do you mean?
I mean, if he goes to his pro day and runs a 4.35. Then they forget about Indy, right? The combine, to me, sounds like it should almost go away.
Oh, it's never going away.
You don't think so?
No, that's
4 days of content.
Yeah, the NFL Network is there doing things live all the time. They are making money off this thing, Jew. You think the NFL is just going to cut off a revenue source?
Who's the guy that ran a 4.21?
Oh, from Texas.
Xavier Worthy,
the wide receiver.
The receiver?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're his agent, do you say, I ain't doing pro day?
Yeah, why would you?
You got it on paper. I don't need to run, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't need to do anything at his pro day. He did everything at the combine.
So you're kind of gambling on yourself.
Yeah, but again, if you show up at the combine, you do some, and like if you're just going, hey, I'm going to do everything at one, showing up and doing some, doing poorly, and then not doing others is a giant red flag.
Yeah, because the knock when I was at the combine, they said the turf in Indianapolis where they had it was extremely slow.
Okay.
Which would track
sure
for me. So I don't know. I mean, if you're a super speedy guy,
But I mean, that's not the case anymore. They've got a different place.
No,
it's,
I know.
You know, it's,
yeah.
You know, field at that point, like we're talking about field turf being field turf.
Yeah.
I don't think the combine's going anywhere because I think the modern NFL values those numbers more than ever. Maybe we could see more at the pro days, but there's some franchises that you can look at the athletic testing and pretty much just handpick guys to go there. It's gotten to that point with the athletic testing.
I mean, you love it, Joshy.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's... Obviously, it's not the end-all, be-all. It's something that real evaluators can confirm with the tape, but it also makes guys pop. Like, why didn't this guy work out? Because Rashawn Gary, coming from being one of the most highly regarded guys in high school and then not producing, you kind of have to match. Is it a him problem, or was it the scheme he was in and the things he was being taught? Because clearly, he's better than he was in college, and his athletic testing was a good signal that, hey, there's something here, it just hasn't been unlocked.
Yeah, but it was a motor thing with him.
I believe that
And to some point, Joshy, is it still a motor problem?
I think his problem is he can't bend. He can't turn an edge. That's his big problem.
Because of his knee?
I just think he's not like the flexibility you're looking for, typically. Like he's kind of a one trick pony at that position, which has been effective at times. It's just not
that. It don't like paying what they paid for a one-trick pony.
It
makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's just they're like the Brandon Fiske from Florida State was a guy no one was talking about, and he might end up in the end of the first round because he tested so well. Everyone's looking, saying, if you're this athletic, you can just work. You can figure it out.
But did they pay Rashawn Gary too early? I mean, everyone likes to use the ACL as an excuse when it's convenient. And to me, this sounds convenient because there's been a number of sample sizes where guys came back the next year with an ACL and had as good or even a better year than the previous one. I mean, what are we to say if he has, like we said, I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. How many sacks does he have to have next year in order to warrant that contract? I mean, 8 ain't going to get it done.
It's 12 to 13.
And then you look down the line, and what if Quay Walker has the same year he had this past year?
Then
it's not the scheme.
Then they're having a tough decision on whether or not they pick up the fifth-year option. My guess is if he has a similar year this year than he had last year, they're not going to pick up the fifth-year option.
Yeah. I tell you what.
But isn't that another reason why you need to prioritize linebacker, Chew? If you're not sure about Quay Walker, and we feel like he's the most of what the guys you have, he's probably the most likely to succeed, then don't you have to make sure you have some backup plans? You can't just wait until next year and be like, oh, crap, now we need all the linebackers.
A linebacker in the first round would not bother me at all, Jen.
Yeah,
would not bother me
there's
at
not
all.
Wait, did you just do an about face? Did you just...
He just Stugatz'd himself.
No,
saying
I'm saying
one thing
from
one segment, coming back the other segment. Linebacker's not important. I'm drafting one in the first round.
But if Quay Walker turns out to be
eating onions,
eh?
Spotting dimes.
If Quay Walker turns out to be a pumpkin, right?
Yeah. Because, see, we're giving these guys excuses. Oh, Joe Barry. Joe Barry didn't use him in the scheme.
We've known that was a built-in excuse. We have known as long as Joe Barry was there, we didn't know if guys were reaching their full potential.
That's why early in the year, I'm going to be very interested. Let's say 6 games in, we'll be able to know it's the player or the scheme. Is that enough time?
I'd probably give it at least half the season, right? I mean, how long does it take you to get adjust and feel comfortable where, especially defensively, Chew, it's more about reacting on the instincts than anything else, right?
Going into your third year, Gabe.
Yeah.
See, my third year. You should know what you have in a player.
But, I mean, if you're changing schemes, does that matter at all?
You should still stand. If you're a stud, you're a stud.
Okay.
If you're a stud, you're a stud, you're a stud.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where you go. You're a stud. Is Quay Walker a stud?
I think he has the potential to be.
I'm saying, if you're saying I should know after the first two seasons, Chew, then the answer is no.
Yeah, I'd need plus odds to make the bet. I want him to be.
Yeah. So where would you prioritize, Jen? You want to make this push. So where are you ranking it?
Below safety.
Below safety. All right. So what's the top priority? Is it safety?
Yes.
What about running back?
It's up there, but I still think you can get a guy. I think that you're more likely to land a workhorse type running back. Doesn't have to be a difference maker, but can chew up some yardage late. Doesn't have to be first round, second round, third round, maybe third round. Here's what I will go on the record and say. I would be shocked if the Green Bay Packers didn't take a linebacker in the second or third round of the draft this year. I'll be shocked. It's a deep linebacker class.
Yeah.
They need to make sure they have all the guys at the position. I'd be shocked if they didn't draft a linebacker in the second or third round this year.
Are you okay with a guard with the first pick?
Yeah, because you've got offensive line. And I think running back's a bigger priority.
I still think the Packers think that they can get good offensive linemen later in the draft.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we should all accept the likelihood of a offensive lineman in the first round.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
such a deep class.
Well, again, are they addressing safety and free agency? That makes a huge difference.
Yeah. I mean, the Packers, they always talk about that's where he was on our board. And let me tell you, their board is skewed trenches and like quarterbacks. That's going to be their first round pick.
Well, and if anything happens that the way people talking about in the top 10, like the wide receivers going, all these quarterbacks going, a tight end going, like if all those things happen, there could be a plethora at the back end of offensive line talent that maybe have higher grades, but because a team prioritized quarterback or wide receiver, that you have an opportunity to get value.
I think it all depends on if they go out and get a free agent safety. If they go out and make a splash,
that plugs a hole.
I think it changes your board.
But you guys just said, Jen, you said Quay Walker has the potential to be a super. Where's Devontae Wyatt fall on that scale? Is there potential, or is what he is?
Not sure.
Okay.
Might need some bodies there, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you need potentially some bodies there, too.
I think his odds are longer than Quay Walker's at him being a potential stud. I think they feel pretty good about that interior between Carl Brooks, Devontae Wyatt, Kenny Clark. Obviously, they're always adding defensive linemen. That's just what they do. But I don't think it's a priority for them.
Yeah. So when you were asking what the priority was, were you asking specifically draft or just accumulating?
Just anywhere.
Yeah. Again, I think your priority.
Number two?
I think based on what Halfley has said about safety being important and what they have at that position right now, you got to go out and obviously get somebody. You got to go out there and get that center fielder that you're going to use in your defense. But after that, I think you could go a number of different directions. I think you could go offensive line after that.
But again,
this is assuming, guys, that they don't address it. I think they're going to address safety and free agency. Again, it doesn't have to be Xavier McKinney. It could be some of these other names that we threw out there. It could be Jordan Fuller, Geno Smith, Stone. Could be one of those types of guys. And if they address that in free agency, then the pressure's off in the draft to go out and get one of those guys.
Yeah, because they really suck. Outside of Nick Collins, they've sucked at drafting safeties. If you look at the long list.
Yes.
No, they haven't been. There was a kid out of Virginia Tech. Then there was Haha. Then there was Savage. Their batting average is like the wiener for the Brewers.
Weimer?
What the heck was that?
What are you throwing strays to a top Brewers prospect for?
No, who's the center fielder that couldn't hit?
Yeah, Weimer, Joey Weimer.
He couldn't hit?
Yeah, he was probably called up a little bit too soon because they had some injuries there. Still right. A good prospect.
We're more confused by we haven't mentioned the Brewers in weeks.
Yeah, hey, you're just taking
trying to get
just
it all
taking,
in. I have a checklist
out.
Right here on what to talk about.
You want to get to the Bucks next?
Yeah, I was about to say, I can't wait to see.
Well, I want to get to the big game tonight on whether I should watch it or not.
All right, we'll talk about that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Gabe?
The answer to that, by the way, is no. Change the way you do business and take more control of the payment process with Fifth Third Bank's Treasury Management Solutions. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line, all customized for your business. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh said it's garbage.
I'm so glad that Josh is getting a front row seat.
He said it's garbage. It doesn't work.
Chewy.
Am I right or wrong?
We call that a setup in the biz.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what makes me happy? My wife being happy. That's why I go to the jewelry center. Let's be honest. Most guys don't have a clue when it comes to buying jewelry. Gabe's one of the smart ones. Got the engagement ring and the wedding bands from the jewelry center for his wedding in 2022. They also do in-house repairs for watches and other fine jewelry like my championship ring. When it needs work, I know where I'll be taking it to. The Jewelry Center, they have three locations to stop into: Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can just look through all the many styles of diamonds and other fine cuts online at shoptjc.com. I'm a living proof, happy wife, happy life. The Jewelry Center will make it happen in Brookfield, Greenfield, and Burlington, and online at shoptjc.com.
I appreciate you talking about the jewelry center. It looks like Dame Lillard gave his teammates a little jewelry, handing out some watches to the entire team. He posted it on his social media account, the squad holding up the wrists and holding up the boxes with the brand new watches. Now, Chu, when you said earlier you were trying to figure out if you should watch the game tonight, I just assumed you were talking about the Marquette game.
Oh, I thought he was talking about Bucks Warriors tonight.
And then I realized that the Bucks play tonight and they play the Warriors and they play at 9 p.m.
It'd be 10 p.m. Eastern his time, which is why I was saying, no,
you won't be watching.
You won't be watching.
But he was talking about the Marquette game. Marquette taking on UConn senior night at Fiserv Forum. Oso Iguodaro, Tyler Kolek, who will not be playing as he continues to battle that oblique injury. And I will tell you this. I was really looking forward to the rematch between these two squads, was really amped for it. I took that loss to UConn real hard.
You did.
So I mean, you're saying they have no shot yet?
I'm just saying I'm not looking forward to it tonight as much as I was before when Tyler Kolek was on the field. And Gabe, you've made a pretty bold statement about how you think tonight's game is going to go if Tyler, since we know he will not be playing, is not on the court.
It's just going to be tough. I mean, beating a top two team in the country without your best player, the odds are long. Although I will say this, they played better without Oso and Tyler on Saturday at Creighton. I mean, they hung in that game for 33 minutes before Creighton Shireman just got hot and pulled away. But like, they played pretty well without their top two players. So getting Oso back, it's a long road to hoe because so much of their offense and what they do goes through Tyler Kolek. Like if they want to make some sort of run in the tournament, Tyler has to be healthy.
Is this the right call though? Obviously he's still recovering. Obviously we're not going to rush him back, but to prioritize the NCAA tournament,
1,000%. God, 1,000%.
Ye of little faith. I think they beat them. This is the Jason Garrett effect. UConn riding high, best player out. Hey, let's go to wherever and fill our bellies. This is going to be a walk.
You think Dan Hurley's going to let those guys look at the game like that?
Yeah.
Well, where did it happen to them? Where they just lost their last game they lost, was it Creighton?
Yeah.
Creighton that beat them?
Mm-hmm.
God, you guys.
But that's the thing, Chu. Like, if they were still sitting there with, like, just one loss or whatever, but they did lose not that long ago. Like, this team's going to be sharp coming in tonight.
Gabe, I know you're working, but Jen, are you going to the game?
Not going to the game. We'll watch it at home with my family. Weeknight games are tough.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just very hard to get the gang down there and then get the gang home, get them to bed, and then get them ready for the next day, tomorrow, school.
Enough about you. What about the rest of your family?
Right, exactly. I also have that bedtime looming, and if I don't hit that, then we have a real tough time tomorrow. Hey, I'm just looking out for you guys, okay? Because if I don't get my sleep, if mama doesn't get sleep, nobody's having a good day. No, it should be a great scene. Obviously, they need the student section. They need the fans to make a lot of noise, to be raucous, to try to create as much of a home court advantage as possible. But I think Marquette fans need to kind of look ahead and not focus so much on winning the Big East tournament like this team did last year, but figuring out how they can be as close to 100% as possible to make a deep tournament run, because this game is the best Marquette basketball team I have seen in years.
Yeah, but of course, you can listen to the game tonight right here, 94.5 ESPN. Pregame coverage will start at 6:30. Brian D. will have Marquette College Game Day Network pregame starting at 7, tip-off right around 7:30. Look, this team won the conference last year. They won the conference tournament last year. So that's something, yes, of course, you would have loved to do those things back-to-back and make it even more historic. But after getting bounced in the first weekend last year, the thing that's most important now, I mean, the thing that people and fan bases remember more than anything in college basketball, did you go on a run? Did you have a run in the NCAA tournament? So being healthy for that, I mean, if they lose tonight, win Saturday, they're probably, I think, still going to get a 2 seed. So you should be able to beat, even if Tyler misses, let's say, the Big East tournament, that first game against a 15 seed, should be able to beat a 15 seed without Tyler. Then after that, if he's healthy, ready to go, if you go on a run to that second weekend, get to a Sweet 16, get to an Elite Eight, that's what separates you then from other teams. That's what people end up remembering is, did you go on an NCAA tournament run?
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather, because he's been out for how many games now?
This will just be his second.
Second game.
I mean, don't you want him to play a cupcake game just to get his feet under him, or do you want to plug him in farther down the tournament where you're playing?
I want him to be healthy.
Opponents.
I don't want, if there's a risk of him getting re-injuring against a 15 seed, I don't want that.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. You're that confident that the committee will not bang him? The committee will not. The committee will not. You know what I'm trying
Josh,
to say.
Josh, you are going to toilet
yeah, come on.
You really do.
But I want to be, this is, I'm serious here, because this is the thing I've been worried about
Josh
the most.
Too.
They're not going to ding them for not having Tyler Kolek, for losing. Let's say they lose to UConn, so then it's back-to-back losses. Let's say, God forbid, and I'm not wishing this, I'm not manifesting this. Let's say, God forbid, they lose their last game of the regular season. Let's say, God forbid, they lose in the first round of the Big East tournament because they don't have Tyler Kolek.
Then they'll probably be a three.
That the committee won't take that into account?
I mean, they'll probably be a three. But again, that's why I think, you know, again, they're underdogs tonight. There's no shame in losing two, but then you have to beat Xavier. Like, you can't go into the Big East tournament on a three-game losing streak. Got to be able to beat Xavier. I think that, you know, it looks like Tyler's going to play. I think, again, that all factors in.
I think it's wonderful that there's a lot of people in the Marquette community who are very optimistic. Chu, you mentioned ye of little faith about this Marquette team's ability to do some damage. I also think that you can be disappointed about Tyler Kolek's injury, about him being one of the best players in the country, being the straw that stirs this drink of this team. You know that many times as he goes, the team goes, and him missing out in these last few games. I think that you're allowed to be disappointed, and you shouldn't be shunned for that, or you shouldn't be like, you're not as good of a fan.
No, it sucks.
No. Yeah.
Because this team is that good. And now there's the question mark. Like, they've been so fun. Like, and not just they've been good, but they play a fun brand of basketball. Like, they're fun to watch. So it just stinks that, especially for him, coming down this stretch, final few games of your college career, and you suffer just a weird injury. Doesn't happen all that often.
It's total fluke.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen that often in college hoops and or in basketball in general. You don't see the oblique injury that often, and you just hope that he can get healthy in time so he can enjoy one final run as the point guard of Marquette.
I've never pulled an oblique. You?
No.
In baseball, Gabe? Never?
No, never had. No.
I feel like I have.
Really?
I feel like I've pulled an oblique before, but not that I remember it.
I mean, my oblique is all fat. You can't pull fat, can you?
I mean, there's got to be something under there, right?
Well, yeah, but it's insulated.
Do some Russian twist, for goodness sake. You can't.
Russian twist?
Yeah, you hold the dumbbell in front, you're doing the sit-up position, and you take the weight from side to side. That's how you work those obliques. Or do the plank on the side. What?
When you turn 55, two things don't matter anymore. Doing abs and doing legs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chewy's doing curls for the girls all day, yeah. Jen.
And tries for the guys.
Just your beach muscles? That's all we're working on?
That's it.
Skipping leg day?
Isn't core essential? Like, doesn't that really?
Absolutely. A million percent. Yeah, everything. Say. You have back pain? Start working on your core. Like, it's all. You got neck pain? Start working on your core, man. It's all part of it. But you do, you two. I'm sure, you know, it's worked so far for you.
Yeah. I wear a lot of sweats.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and a Bucks legend. Tune in to Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You want more physical harm beset upon people who are trying to earn a living.
I want winners. If someone has to die in order for us to win, then that's the price you pay.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
You guys remember me talking about being at the State Fair and seeing a sauna display. We've all had those moments walking through an expo center thinking, oh, I kind of would like to have one of those. Let me tell you guys, having an infrared sauna from Good Health Saunas is so nice. It feels great after my workouts. I feel extra energy and flexibility from my sauna. Plus, my skin looks better. I'm sleeping better. The detoxification benefits alone are totally worth it. I just feel better. Thanks to Good Health Saunas. Find the infrared sauna for you and your family at goodhealthsaunas.com. That's goodhealthsaunas.com. But I'm thinking it's time to grow. Metronome. Didn't spend a lot of time on the polls today here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but let's check out what we did put. In our first segment of the day, we were talking about the people or the person that sent me the toothbrushes. No note. I have no idea who sent me the toothbrushes. If you sent me 100 toothbrushes to help me with the days that I forget to brush my teeth, thank you. The poll was, if you give a gift, a tip, or donate something, do you want the credit for doing it? 77% of people saying no, the gesture is enough.
Liars. It's people who like to believe they think that way. But my experience, I'm sure you guys share this, most people don't give things anonymously, typically.
Call me a liar.
No, I think you are someone I would put in that camp. Homer
is
someone.
Did you send me the toothbrushes? You know, you could have just handed them to me.
Yeah,
you didn't have to go through the whole Amazon thing.
Most people don't have Gabes and Homers running around in their life. I just don't think that applies.
Most people want some level of recognition for a good deed.
Yeah, and I think that's okay. You're doing the deed still. It's still good. But yeah, hey, thanks, or that was very nice of you. Goes a long way.
Of course, if you're Chewy, you're only doing the deed if you've done the cleaning first.
Heck yeah.
Good point. Fair.
Just spent a lot of time this week talking about Chewy and what goes on at night.
Frogging.
Not tonight.
Oh, no? You already know? Few minutes before 10 a.m. on your on the East Coast, and you already know that you're not getting any?
Is there always you don't get any when you're grounded from Amazon? Like, that's the additional punishment on top of the Amazon privileges being revoked?
She's in Wichita.
Oh.
I'm not that hung.
Yes, you're right.
Long reach.
There will be no hanky panky this evening.
Now, hold on, Jen. There'll be a lot of couch time.
Yeah. Hands where I can see them. Yeah. All right. Thanks for hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. We will see you tomorrow.